Hey, look at all that.
Welcome to the new and improved Geek Squad News.
Oh, is it all? It's just all Eagles talk. Is that where we're going?
We're in the bird's nest. No, we're not. It's not all Eagles talk. I got some wrestling talk to do, too.
Oh, that sounds exciting for you.
For you. You can't wait.
You probably wouldn't believe. I watched some, what was that? Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble, yes.
Something. By the way, thanks for joining Frank and Jack. I'm Jack. He's Frank. If you're listening and can't see the little name tags, always helpful.
Yeah, it is. That was our opening, our backgrounds. You can't actually see it because the way the background sits, but 2022 NFC East champion, or 2022 NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles are on their way to the Super Bowl for the second time in 6 years.
They are. I feel like Dom's going to ditch us tonight just to avoid the shade.
He might.
Well, look, my mom said hi. Hi, Mom.
Hi to your mom.
And my sister Susan's probably there, too. So hi
to Hi to your sister. Wow, I'm really dark over here tonight, and I have a big light on.
It's your background blurring, I think.
You know what? Let me put this on. Let me see if this helps. But anyway. There we go.
Sure.
How was your weekend?
It was good. A little busy. You know, I had a gig Friday down at over at Wilson's.
Yes.
It was a blast. Then I went and saw the boys in Ear Candy afterwards over at the Sweeney's Philly Special.
Oh, yeah?
Speaking of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went and saw those guys. Had a good time. And then Saturday was just doing stuff for the kids and going down and seeing my sisters in town from back out west. So
I saw your picture. It's such a lovely family.
So we went down there for a while, and then Sunday we watched a whole bunch of football.
Yeah, it was a lot of football.
And besides that, I watched some stuff, not a whole lot. Been a busy week or two. How about you, man? Did you do anything? Watch anything this week?
So
on TV yesterday.
So Friday night, like no. So So Friday night, I was halfway into my jeans when I decided, absolutely not, no way.
Got it.
Not doing it.
You were gonna leave the house and like go see people.
I was gonna go see a band at Nick's, and I was gonna maybe swing around to Wilson's, and then I just decided at the last second I'm just gonna sit here and watch TV and play video games.
Well, that sounds enjoyable.
So I started a new show that's not really new, but the second season just started. So I started How I Met Your Father.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I was hesitant on it when it first came out. And then when I saw it's only 10 episodes, I was like, all right, you know what? 10 episodes probably move pretty fast. And it does. It actually moves pretty fast. And it's really not bad. It's a real consistent show. It doesn't run all over the place like How I Met Your Mother did. Like it stays pretty within itself. And then of course they tease who the father is, and you know, the father is one of the guys in this room, and Kim Cattrall, gorgeous as ever, does the narrating.
And
they wisely kept the kids, they wisely kept her son off screen so he could just be a voice and be however the hell old he wants to be.
So got it. That makes sense.
So she's sitting on the sofa with like drinking wine and telling him stories while he's on like a video chat, but you can't see him. You just see her the whole time.
Oh, so they did the opposite of the way they did before.
Right. So you see her now, who is the character Sophie 30 years later.
Got it. Which, I mean, look, the way that they shot How I Met Your Mother with that was brilliant, that they shot all of that.
Yeah.
In the first season.
Yeah.
Use the entire season for the kids. It was brilliant.
Oh, I loved it. It fixed the, you know, the kids are going to age out of these roles, and they did actually. Because who was it? Lizzie Kaplan?
No.
No. Who was the daughter? Not Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh, on
How I Met Your
Mother. I have no idea.
I forget who it was.
I don't know that it was anybody that I know. Apparently,
it actually is someone you know.
Really?
I
never would have thought. What's up, Dylan? Yeah, go birds to you too, buddy.
Yes, go birds. Go birds. Hold on. I'm going to tell you who it is. And then you're going to go, oh, okay.
Am I? I might.
You are. You actually are. Yeah. Lindsay Fonseca.
Nope.
You do.
Okay.
She was in Hot Tub Time Machine. She was the girl that stabbed John Cusack in the eye with the fork.
Sure.
She was in Kick Ass.
Nope.
Turner and Hooch. Ooh. The TV
no.
show.
No. Oh, the, ooh, yeah, no, no.
Neither of us would know that. Well, you would know her if you saw her, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, look, everybody's pouring in. We forgot to advertise earlier, so it's a little bit of a delay. But Dylan, Jack, Charles, Pete, all here. Good to see all of you.
You missed the start of the Eagles song.
Yeah, I don't know that they all missed it.
So.
Maybe anyway, that scared them all away for the first 30 seconds of the show.
Yeah, the first season moves pretty good, and they bring two good, well, actually three How I Met Your Mother cameos.
So far, right?
Right. So, well, in season one, there's three.
Got it.
There's the captain. Remember the captain? Kyle
Kyle McLaughlin.
Yeah, there's the captain, mm-hmm. Carl the bartender, and Robin Scherbatsky. All okay. make. And then in the second season, it's already been advertised. It's all over YouTube and stuff. Neil Patrick Harris is going to show up.
Yeah, he's losing steam as being this. He did not capitalize on his popularity from that show and keep it going.
No.
Was it Robin Sparkles or was it Robin Scherbatsky?
No, it was Robin Scherbatsky, the newswoman. It was.
That's a shame.
That's a missed opportunity.
Could have used some Robin Sparkles.
And then, you know, to round out my weekend, I played video games Saturday, watched the Royal Rumble, which I want to talk about a little bit. And watch The Last of Us. I did not catch up on The Bad Batch yet, and this was probably the actual week to catch up on it.
It was an episode.
Okay.
I did finish something else. So when I was watching Yellowstone to catch up to season 5, which
yes.
Now I have to start season 5. Haven't made it past that. But there was another show on Peacock that kept popping up. They called The Traitor.
I've heard of it.
It was fun. It's like Big Brother and Bravo, Real Housewives people, and all sorts of reality stars from Survivor and all these things from over the years. And it's like The Mole.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was fine. It was enjoyable. But that was like 10 episodes that I didn't realize it was 10 episodes when we started. I'm like, this isn't quick at all. We're still here. Okay. But it was fun. It was a mix though. It wasn't all celebrities. Like some were regular people, some were celebrities.
Oh, okay.
Concept is they do challenges to win a pot of money,
mm-hmm.
and then there's traitors in the house, and any traitors that make it till the end of the show, if there's a traitor left at the finale, they take all the money regardless of who else is there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it was enjoyable. But so now I have that finished, so now I can start catching up on things because I desperately want to go watch The Legend of Vox Machina, season one, and then season two started. So that is based on the YouTube show Critical Role.
Okay, I know them.
It's the people that did that is actually the most successful Kickstarter of like all time.
Yeah, didn't they like get picked up for like a series or something like big time?
Well, that's why it's the second season now. But I mean, it's been a YouTube series, but they started a Kickstarter and said, hey, we need like $350,000 so we can do like an initial show, just a pilot and kind of shop it around. Mm-hmm. They got $11 million.
No shit.
In their Kickstarter.
Holy shit.
And it was enough to like film a season.
Okay.
And Amazon picked them up and was like, do whatever you guys want to do. Enjoy.
I think Pete watched that. I think Pete watched that on and off or on all the time.
So that's next on my list, I think, in between getting through this so exciting Yellowstone universe that everybody keeps telling me is amazing.
Yeah, I've kind of pushed pause on that for the moment. I got a lot of stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks, not TV wise, but outside of TV related video games and whatnot.
Got it.
I got Hogwarts Legacy coming up on the 10th.
Oh, that is Potter. I got to pre-order that.
Yes, yeah, same. And I got my Nerf Galahorn gets here tomorrow, I think.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
It's a big Nerf rocket launcher from the Destiny video game I play.
Oh, all right.
It was $185.
That's a wise investment, I feel like.
Wait till you see how...
Would buy one shoe a ticket to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, Super Bowl tickets are a little expensive. I believe it was $25,000 for 50-yard line seats.
Yeah, those are for good seats. Cheap seats were $7,000 as of yesterday.
I was thinking about it. No, I don't think so.
No.
No. No, no, no. To start off the newsy stuff, there's a sad Annie Wershing passed away.
Yeah, I saw this. I knew her mainly not from many of the things she was in, because I wasn't super familiar with a lot of her stuff, but I loved her in The Runaways.
Yeah, I recognized her from a couple of different things, but I went back and looked at her IMDb, and she was in General Hospital for 80 episodes back in 2007. That's a long time.
No, it's not. That's not even 3 months.
Okay, touche.
Sorry, it's like 3.5 months.
I know her most. I know her most from 24. She played Renee Walker for 37 episodes, FBI agent.
Yeah, I saw she was on there. Like I said, she was great, and I look back, she was young too. She's my age.
She's 45. She was in Revolution. Remember Revolution?
I loved Revolution.
So did I. And she was the voice of Tess in The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Video game.
Funny how that all ties back around, huh?
It does, and we are definitely going to talk about that later. She was also the Borg Queen in Star Trek Picard last season. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, it's sad. She it was cancer related.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of details. I just saw cancer, and I don't know how long ago she was diagnosed or anything. But
no. There is another reboot coming up that I don't know how I feel about yet. Is my favorite television show being rebooted?
Friday Night Lights?
Yes, actually. Yes.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
It is actually. It's going to be released in two phases. There's going to be another movie, and then there's plans for a TV show after that.
The movie and the show related before?
No, I mean, okay. No. It was just kind of the same town, and there were some character similarities, I think, but overall it wasn't, because the movie was a lot darker, I think, than the TV show was. I think the only mainstay between both was Connie Britton, played Coach's wife in the movie and Coach's wife in the TV show.
Oh, that's weird. But yeah. Not the same guy played the coach.
Not the same guy that played the coach, no. Billy Bob Thornton played the coach in the movie.
Oh, yeah. The only high school football movie from that era that I watched was Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues.
So yes. Other than that, I got nothing.
John Voight.
Yeah.
This is not going to be connected to the TV show. It's not going to have any of the same actors, kids. It's a completely different town, completely different everything. So maybe it'll work.
Isn't that already a show called All American?
Yeah. I mean, and then call it Friday Night Lights as a reboot. I don't know. It's just, why don't you just, I don't know.
Where are they doing this?
Texas. It's always.
No, I meant what channel?
Oh, I think Peacock, maybe.
Okay.
I closed the page because I was getting out of that as fast.
Was that on NBC back in the day?
It was. Well, it was on NBC, and then it got canceled, and then it went to satellite. It went to the Dish Network, and then they would air it, and then it would come to NBC after that.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I do see Dylan looks like he's up to all sorts of exciting stuff, by the way, in the chat. I don't know if you noticed that. He saw Infinity Pool, which looks like a crazy horror movie.
Okay.
Just to give you a description, and you never know. It's guided by a seductive and mysterious woman. A couple on vacation venture outside the resort grounds, find themselves in a culture filled with violence, hedonism, and untold horror.
Okay.
A tragic accident soon leaves them facing a zero-tolerance policy for crime. Either you'll be executed, or if you're rich enough to afford it, you can watch yourself die instead.
Interesting.
So it sounds like that was pretty good from what he said.
Yeah.
I will get back on the horror train. I have not been good at keeping up with the horror movies.
Well, that's why we have Dylan in the chat.
It is. I will have the list of horror movies built to watch while you still have your list of TV shows.
Yes. Sticking with the horror theme, funny enough, I actually have a horror movie news that I never usually pull. There's a long delayed Stephen King horror remake is finally getting a release date.
Was it Firestarter?
It's not.
No. I didn't even know that came out. Oh, no. Children of the Corn. All right.
Yeah. So they actually They actually finished filming this back in 2020, and it's been delayed multiple times. It looks like it's going to be coming out March 21st, 2023. It's going to get a theatrical release on March 3rd, and then it's going to come out digitally on the 21st. So it's 2 weeks.
That's soon.
2 weeks, yeah.
There's a lot coming out that time. I don't know if they want to get in the middle of all that.
I don't think they're pushing for really a ton of money since they're going to go right to digital 2 weeks after it's out.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I remember watching the original. I actually remember the original from 1984. It was terrifying.
And apparently the Boogeyman is coming out too.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Oh, I did see that. I saw the preview for that yesterday during the games.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out.
That's fun. It's weird. There is usually like a horror push in like this late winter.
Yeah, I absolutely won't see this movie. But
yeah, I know. You'll think about it. You'll want to hear Dylan's take though, because he's our resident horror expert, which we appreciate.
I absolutely would love to hear his take on it. And maybe Dom is avoiding us because of the
couple weeks are going to be nuts though, between Ant-Man coming out right then, and then like 2 weeks later we have Shazam. Which, did you see the new trailer?
I did. It looks really good. It's so Philly centric.
Oh, you're going. Looks good. All right.
Yeah. It's the best.
I loved the original Shazam. I thought that movie was great. It's my favorite DCU movie. This one looks like all of the other DCU movies that I did not like.
Look, they destroy Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, but I don't know. I the wonderful part about the first one was how bright it was.
Yeah.
And like it was shot through a different lens than the Zack Snyder blue gray. And then this movie is all, everything in the trailer is that damn blue gray. And let's fight huge monsters that have zero stakes because we know you're going to win because it's just big CGI monsters.
I have some Dwayne news for the DC stuff in a little bit.
Do you think he's going to be there?
I do not. That's not that. No, this is just more of his downfall with DC.
Oh, yeah.
And other stuff that he's said and done. Do you remember when we did the Razzie thing last week?
I do.
Thing about how they like shit all over a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
They took that back. They kind of walked that back, and they Drew Barrymore really went after them for it, as she should have. I mean, the girl's only 12 years old. That they you know.
I feel like they've probably gone after Drew more than once. So
Sure, but they basically pulled that back. And they said that they're going to no longer nominate children for any awards, which I think
they put an age limit of 18 in.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. I mean, it's, you know, I didn't see it, so I can't really.
Look, and the tricky part is like that would then follow that 12-year-old for the rest of her life.
Right.
And who knows if it was her acting or the directing of her acting that was that bad.
Yeah.
We don't know. Nobody knows. So that's why. I think you leave the little girl alone. It's probably the best play there.
Avatar, again, number one.
You've seen it three times now, right?
Made more movie, made more money, blah blah blah. On its way to becoming, it's the fourth highest grossing movie of all time. It surpassed Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Speaking of Avatar, there is some the Oscars came out, the noms.
I do. I have
last
that
week too.
I have that.
Cool. And Mia Goth, I guess Dylan Sain called out them for not nominating horror.
Well, good. For who, the Oscars or the Razzies?
Look,
the Oscars, not the Razzies.
when we get, I mean, look, the Razzies nominate horror every year. Yeah. But when we get to the Oscars, we'll talk about that because I think there's some interesting omissions and one pretty cool nomination, at least one.
Yeah. I'm going to jump over to that in like 2 seconds, but so Avatar is 119 million away from Titanic to become number three all time. So he will then own number one and number three, and it's got a shot at passing Endgame.
Well, and number four, right?
It passed four. So like it just jumped
right,
over.
Right, but he has three. So he'll have one, three.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Endgame is at 2.79 billion. OG Avatar is at 2.9. So it still needs about 848 million to jump to number one. I think it'll come close to Endgame. I don't know if it'll
pass. Well, what you go back to with Avatar is that, like, anytime somebody wants to go see it, they're not going to a regular theater.
No, they're paying $47.
So it's always going to generate more money per theater based on that. Even if it's in less theaters, it'll still generate more than like three showings of Endgame on a Tuesday.
Right.
You know, right. When you go to the matinee prices.
Yep. And before we go to the Oscars, Tomb Raider, remember that video game? A couple of Lara Croft movies with Angelina Jolie.
And Alicia Vikander. Yep.
Vikander? Yep. So there's a Tomb Raider show in development at Amazon Prime Video with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
No.
As the runner of it, I think.
Oh, okay. As a showrunner. Not as Lara Croft.
Not as
okay.
Lara. Ah, wait. Yes.
Because she will be the next Indiana Jones, not the next Lara Croft.
Correct.
Got
correct.
It. Cool. That's fine. I think that works better. I think the tough part with all these streaming services, though, is like the shows like that would have been awesome as serialized television.
Yeah.
Serialized television doesn't exist anymore. Like, no. Like that would be great as like what like a Xena was or like a Hercules, yeah. Right? There's a couple of these shows out now that I'm like, that would have been great as like the Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
Or whenever those actually aired, but I just felt like it was Saturday afternoons when all those shows were on.
The reruns.
Yeah, but all those like that were made to just, this is going to be serialized and broadcast all over the world, and every episode is kind of standalone. You don't need a story.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the streaming service, like you, it's not something you just throw on to have in the background usually. It's like, I'm going to go watch this series.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I'm good. But like those were just like throwaway filler stuff, and that doesn't exist with the way that the business works anymore. It's a shame.
Yeah. Now she's gonna be one of the writers, and she's gonna be the main writer, and she's gonna executive produce it. So she will not be playing the lead. They will have to find a lead.
I wonder if she'll bring. Well, I know she will, but I don't know how much humor and how awkward that'll be with her.
Oh.
Because look, she's funny. Fleabag was great.
Yep.
But I don't know how that translates over to an action show.
Will she bring Harrison Ford?
No. He just loves acting. I watched an interview with him over the weekend. And he's like, the part I hate is being famous. He's like, but I love doing what I do still.
Yeah.
He's like, but I don't want to be the one that gets chased down for my autograph all the time.
Saturday, I was flipping around the TV before I went out, and I caught Force Awakens on like TBS or something. Oh. And I watched up to Chewie were home, and I shut it off.
Mm. Look, Force Awakens is the most solid of the three.
Yeah, because it's in A New Hope.
Well, no, because it's got some better acting through most of it because you have Harrison Ford.
It does. So rather than read off the entire list of Oscar nominees, I have this fun little.
Oh.
All 10 Oscar 2023 best pictures ranked from worst to best per this site.
Okay. I do want to throw out before we get into that. There's a few that actually apply to us besides the Everywhere All at Once noms, which there are quite a few.
Yeah.
For acting, the entire principal cast except for the grandfather are nominated, which is amazing.
Yep.
But the first Marvel acting Oscar has been nominated for Angela Bassett. I don't think she'll win. She did win the Golden Globe, but I don't know if she takes this one.
No, I'm looking at that particular list, and she's up against Hong Chow for The Whale, Kerry Condon for The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything All at Once, and Stephanie Sue for Everything All at Once. So.
Yeah, and I don't see Stephanie or Jamie Lee winning it.
They cancel each other out pretty much.
Well, no, like they were both good, but they were not like insanely huge.
Right.
Yeah, I would be awesome if Kehu Kwong won the supporting.
I think it's in supporting. Okay, sorry, I was looking at the one.
Yeah, there wasn't a lead male role in Everything Everywhere All Once. I know you're it's like your favorite movie of last year, and you've seen it multiple
I'm
times.
I'm going to see it before the Oscars air. How about that? So he's up against Brendan Gleeson for The Banshees, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway, Judd Hirsch from The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan for The Banshees, and obviously Key.
I want to point out there are two Eternals.
Yeah.
Up for Oscars right now in that category, which is pretty impressive. Right? I mean, and Keoghan is tied to Marvel and DC at this point.
Right. Right. I mean, it would be nice to see him win it. I would really like to see him win it. And I actually plan on going or seeing that movie before.
Yeah, I'm gonna. The only one I haven't watched that I really want to watch is The Banshees of Inisherin, just because it's up for every award.
It's
crazy.
Okay, so this top 10 list of the best. So these are the best picture nominees in what Screen Rant has from worst to best, and obviously their lists are always awesome.
Yeah.
Number 10, Triangle of Sadness.
Which I think is a musical comedy, if I remember correctly, based on the Golden Globes nomination.
Yes.
I don't know anything about that particular one.
Same. It had an 8-minute standing ovation at Cannes, so, I mean.
Oh, well, look at that.
Yeah. Elvis at 9.
Okay.
Okay.
Also on the list. So Triangle of Sadness has Woody Harrelson. It is a comedy. It's a 2.5-hour long black comedy. Oh my God.
No, thank you. I'm good. I'll see Elvis before I see that.
Yeah.
Women Talking at 8.
Okay.
Not really familiar with it.
No idea.
It's based off the novel of the same name. Tackles horrific themes with deft and showcases the talents of a brilliant ensemble cast.
Wow. Pete's still talking about Keon Kwan. That was his acceptance speech for the Golden Globe.
Yes.
That was all over everything when he won for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah. Number 7 is Tar.
Okay. I just heard a review today. It sounds like it's actually pretty long.
Yeah.
And she is great.
Yeah, that's
what I've heard.
Calling this one of her greatest performances.
She plays the first conductor of a German, like high profile German orchestra.
Yep.
And then has to deal with what you would expect to happen to a female who's in an old school German orchestra.
Number 6 is Avatar. Don't need to even say anything about that.
It's way too high.
192 minutes of yuck. Number 5 is The Banshees of Sheeran.
Inisherin.
Yep.
Just think Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
It's like that.
Again. number 4, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I can't see what would be ahead of that. I mean, I know one of the movies that's ahead of that because I know one of them off the top of my head that's in it. Number 3 is The Fabelmans. That's Steven Spielberg once again.
That'll probably be the one that wins. Unfortunately,
I don't know. Like
they love old Hollywood, man. They love it. Love old Hollywood.
Number 2 is All Quiet on the Western Front. It's the second adaptation of the novel set in 1970.
Didn't even know it came out last year.
No. And then number 1 is Top Gun Maverick, which is interesting to nominate it for Best Picture. I mean, it was a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I saw it once in a theater, and I saw it once not in the theater.
Okay.
But do you think that has an actual legit shot at winning?
It might. I still haven't seen that either.
Really?
Nope. Well, so that one I wanted to watch with the wife, but she watched it on a plane.
Were there snakes?
So no, there was no Samuel Jackson. There was no mother effing snakes on her plane, from what I understand. That's been kind of holding me back because it's a bit of a long haul to
right.
do.
Yeah. No Monday to Friday snakes on her Monday to Friday plane?
No.
The TV edit is so much better.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would be the first blockbuster in a minute, but Tom Cruise hasn't won anything in a long time.
Has he ever won for Best Picture, though?
Not for Best Picture, but I don't know. He may have. I don't know.
Did he? He may have won Best Actor for Far and Away.
Oh, God, no. Really? I don't think he did for Far and Away. Yeah, I know. Look, I think the Oscars will be fine. I think the awards ceremony will be boring.
Duh. How dumb.
What's that?
He won Best Picture in 2023. He's up for the award. He won Best Actor for, it was Jeremy Maguire. Yeah. In Best Actor in 97 and 90. Wait, hold on.
He's been nominated for 4 Oscars. Yeah. Magnolia, Jerry Maguire, Born on the 4th of July.
And now Maverick is his.
He did not win any of them.
No. Nope.
Yeah. I don't think he's nominated for Maverick, though, is he?
No, he's not nominated for Maverick. Maverick's just nominated for Oscars. Oh, wow. He never won an Oscar. Look at that.
No. Well, that's
He won a couple Golden Globes.
Yeah. Look, I mean, he's gonna make all the money again this year with that Mission Impossible movie. It looks crazy.
Yeah, it does. All right, I'm going to jump over to the DC stuff because this is fun. I wish Dom were here for this.
I wish it was tomorrow night for the DC stuff.
What? Oh, tomorrow is when he's making his announcement?
He said by February.
He did.
So I don't know if you have in there that James Gunn got called out by a U.S. congressman.
I did see that. Today. I didn't grab it, but I did see that.
He said, James, the American people deserve to know.
I mean, look, man, I'm glad our congressman like comic book movies, okay?
Some of them, yeah. There was another one that kept referencing Star Wars and told himself a geek that I'm not a fan of.
So Black Adam brought in $391 million on a $195 million budget, $40 million on reshoots, and then whatever the marketing and whatnot was. So sources confirm that Dwayne Johnson, along with Black Adam producer Hiram Garcia, who is his ex-brother-in-law, and Bo Flynn, had an under-the-radar meeting with Warner Brothers CEO David Zaslav to directly pitch their multi-year version for Black Adam. The plan would interweave Henry Cavill as Superman, whose manager at the time was Johnson's ex-wife. He is no longer managed by her. He has left her.
Oh, that's new.
He left her, but not because of this, allegedly. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Although the pitch took place during a time of internal shifts within DC and Warner Brothers, it ruffled feathers because he end-arounded everyone and went right to the head rather than go in
right.
And follow a chain.
Yeah, not the way you do it.
No. So one of the biggest – this is the best – before the failed release of Black Adam, reports say that Johnson's absurd demands increased and were a nuisance to the studio. Johnson pushed for a producing credit on DC League of Super Pets, but the actor did very little in the way of promoting the film. With the relationship with Warner Brothers already on thin ice, and this is the best, Johnson made his most memorably hilarious demand and insisted on a tequila bar with The Rock's tequila brand, Terramana, at the Black Adam premiere. Mind you, Black Adam is a PG-13 movie. So he wanted a tequila bar at the premiere of a PG-13 movie. And Warner Brothers was like, no, dude, stop. Just stop. The article goes on and it basically says, look, if Will Smith could come back from the slap, The Rock doesn't have too far to climb to get back in Hollywood's good graces.
No, I did see that The Rock may be going a little outside of that and going to buy something else besides tequila.
Yes.
We can talk about that in a few minutes, though.
Yes, we will. The other couple things I had on DC were, so we know that Titans and Doom Patrol were canceled. I don't know if we mentioned that last week. Did we have that last week?
I don't remember what day that was.
So I
think we did, and I'll say it again if I already did. But I really hope that they take some of those people and recast them or keep them in the role and bring them over to different things.
Right. So James Gunn was asked about this, and he basically said these were decisions that were made before they took over. So he didn't James Gunn didn't cancel Titans and Doom Patrol. He basically said that what the characters and performers playing in those characters, if we keep them in DCU, would be him and Peter's call. But that doesn't mean we can keep any TV show running indefinitely. So he didn't make the decision to cancel them. That was apparently already in the works.
No, and I think five or four seasons of both of them is great. I don't think they needed more. They're starting to kind of like Doom Patrol has had some really, really whacked out episodes. So like, I don't think they needed more time on there to do stuff. It looks like they're going to kind of wrap things up fairly well anyway. And Titans was just kept rolling. It was the closest thing to serialized, but it was like, you know, full season long stories where like that would have been more fun if they were like short story arcs.
I saw a picture of what their costumes look like from season one to now, and they look great. Like I guess there was a like they do with the other shows. There was upgrades going along.
I keep seeing those all over. Well, no, so you watch Dick Grayson start as Robin.
Right.
And then say, no, I'm not going to be Robin anymore, and go and become just Dick Grayson for most of season two.
Okay.
And then you watch him become Nightwing at the end of season two.
Oh, that's
And then he's Nightwing going, dude, it's great.
That's the word I was looking for.
It's great watching what they did with his character, and he's a fantastic actor. I was like, up front, I'm like, this is going to be awful. A lot of their problem and a lot of stuff with Titans is like their powers are crazy cool.
Yeah.
They got money to do crazy.
Yeah. Cool.
And you can tell like the more they do with Beast Boy, the more stuff that is like, oh my God, you just missed it. He turned into a gorilla and tore apart this lab. Or, oh my God, you just missed it. He turned into a velociraptor and ran around.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of that this season on that show, but like the girl that plays Donna Troy, who's Wonder Girl, was amazing. Minka Kelly and Alan Ritchson as Hawk and Dove were perfect.
Yeah, that's another one I have to start is Reacher.
But yeah, that's enough. I'll stop raving about Titans till they come back.
So these last two little DC things is that WB is going to have an investor day type of thing on May 17th at Madison Square Garden. The event will showcase Warner Brothers Discovery's upcoming portfolio content from WB, HBO, DC, HBO Max, etc.
That's fine. Nobody cares.
No. As long as we don't have to wait that long.
They're just going to tell us more about what HBO Max, and I bet you'll get some casting news that time for the stuff that James Gunn is going to announce tomorrow.
Well.
I bet you find out what's going to happen with HBO Max and Discovery.
Someone else that has an inside track on what James Gunn's doing is Dave Bautista. And
yeah,
in an interview, Dave said that he's had conversations with James, and I think the directions he's leaning in, completely rebooting that whole universe, he's starting from scratch and starting younger and fresher, which makes sense.
And Bautista would be a great Bane, but he would have been a great Bane 10 years ago, 15 right. years ago, 20 years ago.
I don't want to watch. I don't. Do not need to see. And we talked about this before. We don't need a Superman origin story ever again. We don't need a Batman origin story. We don't need a Wonder Woman origin story. We don't need those main central characters as origin stories.
We don't even need the Shadow of the Bat storyline again when Bane broke his back, because we saw that in the theater, right? Like, we don't need that same story again. What they've done on like Harley Quinn with Bane is hilarious. He's so funny because he's like, everybody just makes fun of him for being stupid all the time. And he knows it. And he just wanders like, I don't understand why you do this. And it's hilarious the way they run that character on there. It's great. But he's like a core character on the Harley Quinn show. He shows up almost every episode doing something.
That's awesome. There is one MCU rumor before we like dip a tiny toe into wrestling, and then I want to finish with The Last of Us because I actually want to see Raw again tonight. Ryan Gosling has been rumored to play Sentry in the MCU.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Everybody's been rumored to play Sentry in the MCU.
And the rumor, there's another
it's a
rumor.
Fairly new character, but it's like a Superman level character.
Right. And then there's the other rumor for with him that he's up for a Fantastic Four role. Please don't make him Reed Richards. Maybe Johnny Storm.
Yeah, but he's old.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I know he looks young, but he's old to make his like Invisible Girl's younger brother. Because Invisible Girl's supposed to be young. And then Johnny Storm's supposed to be younger than her.
How old is he? He is 42. So yeah, he's yeah.
Because you're gonna you got to get the creepy Reed Richards is like this old dude hitting on
right.
Sue Storm.
Right. You need me as
vibes, Reed. And then well, it's Reed and Ben are the same age,
right?
And then Sue's like 5 or 10 years younger, and then Johnny's another like 5 years younger than her.
You can be my Ben Grimm, and I'll be creepy Reed Richards.
So like Ryan Gosling could. Fit is Reed Richards. He would actually be a pretty good Reed Richards.
Ugh, no, stop it.
He's got to dye his hair.
Oh, he's got to just stop. Okay, so you watch
his Ken soon, man.
His what?
He gets Ken in the Barbie movie. It's coming out.
You know, I'm actually probably going to watch that.
I'm sure you will.
I don't know why. I watch stupid stuff, but then I don't watch good stuff. That's my my MO.
I think you were going to say I watched Royal Rumble. I know I said I did earlier. I watched one match because it was on after after we finished The Traitor. It was on Peacock, and I was like, oh, well, this is on Peacock, too. I'll just turn this on. And I had to watch Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens fight for like 30 minutes.
Yes. So I'll sum this up the easiest way possible. The men's Royal Rumble.
Shocked how it ended up.
The men's Royal Rumble started off first. Cody Rhodes won. Cody Rhodes now has a ticket to WrestleMania to wrestle for one of the two belts that Roman Reigns has. Okay, Roman has both belts.
Got it.
Then they had the...
For like 800 days or something, right?
Over 800. 3 years. Yes, 3 years. I mean, it's great.
Great storytelling.
It's great. It's sure. So then they had the Bray Wyatt Supernatural Mountain Dew Pitch Black match, which basically was just black lighting. And then with
okay.
black lighted stuff and the ring ropes and his mask, and he looked okay. It was just a boring match. And in the end, one of the characters in his supernatural world jumped off of a scaffolding to land on the character LA Knight and missed him by about 4 feet. And it's hilarious because you could totally see it in the replays. Then they did the
Dom made it, by the way.
Hey Dom, welcome. You missed the Fly Eagles Fly to begin with. I thought maybe Dom wasn't coming because the Empire State Building lit up green for us. Yeah, Dom.
It did light up red.
Can I?
It did light up red for the Chiefs a few hours later. I will point that out. Right. Oh, that's a whole lot of Frank.
That's a whole lot of...
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay, backing that up. So then they did the women's title match with Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair. That match sucked. Then they did the 30-woman Battle Royal. Rhea Ripley won. It was a good win. She's phenomenal.
I bet she's a person. Yeah.
She
I don't know.
And then, long story short, the reason why the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match was so good is because that was a story that they've been telling for about a year now. This whole bloodline thing and Sami Zayn and then this whole stuff. And story wise, it's probably one of the best coherent stories that they've told all along. In a really, really long time. It's just been actual good. If you like soap operas, it's a good story. And the ending of it was what everybody kind of expected to happen. When Sammy cracks Roman over the back with a chair. The crowd exploded like everybody expected. And then one of the Uso brothers walked off and said he quit the bloodline, which was not expected. So we'll see the fallout.
Oh, I feel like I'd already turned it off by then.
You had, so I was watching it. So I went to Ray and Angel's and watched the Eagles dominate San Francisco 49ers 31-7 in the NFC championship game, which the Eagles won to go to the Super Bowl yesterday. And then Ray wanted to watch the Rumble. So we watched after that. And what they did 20 minutes after the match could have been done in five. They just strung it out so long.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was already well out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Dylan. And I could probably go back and forth with Dylan all night on Royal Rumble stuff. Brock Lesnar came in, eliminated one or two guys, and then got put out pretty early. Usually he comes in and just dominates the whole field.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some really good spots, though. Logan Paul and Ricochet each got up on a rope, on a top rope of the other side of each
wait,
rope.
Wait. Did you say Logan Paul?
I swear to God, dude. If you have a...
Coco Beware there?
No, I wish he
would. What about the Junkyard Dog?
No, the only... No, Dom, we're just about to go to Last of Us. No, the only old school wrestler that came back was Booker T for like a minute.
Okay.
That's as far back as they
went. What about the Bushwhackers?
The Bushwhackers were not in attendance in the ring.
I feel like they need to bring them back.
If you really want to see a cool spot, just Google Logan Paul Ricochet. They jumped off of each top rope from opposite sides of the ring and hit each other in the air in the middle of the ring. It was a really cool spot.
Great. I'm glad we keep giving that guy money. All right.
Now we can do Last of Us.
Oh, but so there is the rumor that The Rock is going to buy WWE, though.
That was the thing that we were leading to. Yes. There's a big rumor that he needs to get up $6 billion to buy it.
$6
billion? Wow. Yeah. So the rumors are that it could be the Saudis were the big rumor that everybody flipped out about. There's the rumor that Disney, Amazon, the Khans, who own AEW and the Jacksonville Jaguars, the guy that runs AEW, his dad owns the Jaguars, Nick Khan.
Got it.
So Tony Khan and Nick Khan could possibly team up to buy WWE, which would be a hell of a funny thing considering Vince bought WCW from Ted Turner.
Right.
Right.
To reinvigorate WWE from when it was WWF.
Right. Now,
not to be confused with the World Wildlife Federation, which it often was.
Correct. So The Rock or Dwayne or whatever, there's all these heavy rumors about him showing up at WrestleMania. And the one thing that keeps coming up is that while The Rock is in great shape, he's not in wrestling shape where he doesn't have the cardio to go and do a 20-minute match. Like, he's in great physical shape, but there's a whole different kind of shape you have to be in to wrestle.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight to carry around.
It is.
When you're not used to it.
And if they drug test him, he won't pass. So there's that.
No.
No. Now we could go to Last of Us talk.
Let's hit it.
What did you watch? Yes?
I did. Oh. I did. I watched. I started last night. I finished it this morning.
So before, just in case anybody's watching or listening at home and listening afterwards and about to give us a 5-star review, 48 minutes, 30 seconds, Last of Us spoilers. If you haven't seen it, get out. Come back after. Wow. Come back after.
But just get pause out. It. You don't have to get out. Just pause.
Pause.
Go watch it and then come back. That's all.
I started it and then I stopped when I realized the Chiefs-Bengals game was 20-20 with like 2 minutes to go.
Well, yeah. Until the refs decided what that game was going to.
Yeah, I watched.
Yeah, you wanted to see what the refs were going to choose, which team they were going to pick to win it. Cool.
They chose Kansas City.
Shocker. I'm an AFC North guy. I hate the Bengals. So
I don't care. I just don't feel like listening to Andy Reid talk for 2 weeks. But anyway.
Yeah, but I get to listen to New Heights with the Kelsey brothers, which is gonna be super fun.
I will listen to that episode. What did you think of The Last of Us? Did you
I'm back bought in to the show. Like, I thought it was fantastic from start to finish. Everything about this episode was great. The acting between Murray Bartlett and Nick Offerman was amazing. And getting to see, I only knew Murray Bartlett, I hope it's Bartlett, from White Lotus, in which he was fantastic. But just getting to watch him in this, I took like half the episode trying to figure out who it was because he's so different.
Right.
And then I realized it. I mean,
you're right.
But it was both of them are great to just watch them like actually do something with their acting chops. Especially Nick Offerman. He's been great in a lot of stuff he's done that's, you know, the last few years where he's really been stretching.
I was caught completely off guard because, again, I didn't play the game and I actually haven't gone back to playing the game from when I started the other day because I'm terrified to get further. I was completely caught off guard by their relationship, which everybody else was too, because then I read it's a deviation from the game.
It's hinted at in the game.
Right. So I actually thought it was one of the best told stories of television. Like, it was such a phenomenal episode from start to finish. And because when you see the previews, I thought we were going to get crazy, funny, you know, Ron Swanson type Nick Offerman being a survivalist. And they completely went a different direction with it.
Yeah, and he's been doing his last several projects. He's been doing way more serious and dramatic work. Like, he was in The Resort, and he wasn't the funny guy in The Resort. He played the straight man whose daughter disappeared, and you know, but he was great in that. He's great in this. The storytelling. So this episode, and I know you're a huge fan of The Walking Dead, but this episode was very Walking Dead-esque.
Okay.
Where you got to see, like, this time-lapsed backstory. They did a whole series, Tales of the Walking Dead. I talked about it a few times on this show.
Yeah.
Where they would take a character and you get to see them from, like, the apocalypse happened. Now, how did they get where they are now, which is 20 years later or 10 years later, right? What was their progression? How'd they do it? So this episode felt very much like the Walking Dead universe. And so, that way that you got to see the post-apocalyptic piece.
Now that I'm getting to see these things like this and you're equating it to that, that makes me actually want to go back and maybe start Nickel and Dime in The Walking Dead, because this kind of stuff was it was just so good. And the acting was great.
Yeah.
And they wove the overall larger story into it little bit. And then at the end, now, as Dom was saying, there are a lot of fans. I mean, you have the fans that were exploding all over some of the social media pages that hated the actual story together because of what it represented. And that's just stupid. But there's apparently in the game a lot of Bill and Ellie back and forth that's awesome. And they introduce another form of zombie or infected in this when you get to this area called a bloater. And I'm not as familiar.
Yeah, they're going to be tough to do on screen.
Okay.
Like, there's certain zombies you can and can't do well.
Right.
The bloaters are going to be really tough to do well, because that goes into the discussion about if airborne makes sense, which they already said is not going to for the show.
Right.
So the bloaters are ones where, like, they're so big, when you kill them, they blow up.
And they leave stuff in the air.
And then they can. Yeah. And then it's poisonous to walk through. Blah, blah, blah.
That's a video game.
Which, show. Yeah. Right, which doesn't translate well to live action.
No. And I get that. And I didn't play the game enough to. I haven't even gotten near this part of the game. But apparently,
you're probably not far from this part. Actually, it's pretty early on. Did you meet Ellie yet in the game?
I did not. No, cool. I just have Tess. Like, we just killed Robert.
Got it.
Super early on in the game.
So it's funny. Dom says you should start watching The Walking Dead tonight.
I can't, Dom, because we're all on.
So funny point with that. So the first season of The Walking Dead is they have to get to they're trying to get to the CDC,
right?
To find out if they figured out the zombie apocalypse, and so they're on a mission to go from Atlanta to DC to get to the CDC, right? Or whatever, wherever they were to Atlanta to get to the CDC. Then this show. They're trying to get from Boston to whatever medical center.
Right.
To try and see if they can help solve the zombie apocalypse. It's the exact same storyline.
Well, now
like the start and finish are like the same goal. It's funny to me. I was thinking about that the other day.
Well, he said he's going to Wyoming right now to look for his brother.
Well, he's
going to
go find his brother now.
Right. So they got to go from here to here.
The goal was to get her with the Firefly so they could get her to a medical thing.
Right. So now apparently I was reading something now when she went down into the basement of the Cumberland Farms and the infected was trapped there, and when she cut the guy over the eye, that she was seeing what is growing inside of her. That's why she did that. That's what they're saying is why she did that.
It's interesting.
And what her possible dark future.
Well, she'd never, other than that attack, she'd never really been able to see him before.
Right. And I do like the thing that she snuck a gun out of there. that she pulled a gun out of.
Remember, she's only 12 years old.
Right.
Doesn't she feel 12 to you?
Yes. 14, we did say coming up for season two, right? It's already been
released. I think we knew that last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we didn't. But yeah, I don't know that season one even ends at the end of the first game.
So you think
it's only 10 episodes.
So you think maybe they get about halfway through and then season two will take them the rest of the way?
Yeah, I don't think that you even finished game one in this season.
Do you think they knew that going in, that they were probably going to get a season two, so they only went about halfway just so they could kind of maybe have more leverage to get a season two?
Well yeah, because this started before Zaslav, so yes, 100%. And they knew, like, this show is going to be great, and people are going to watch it because look at this cast we put together and the storytelling that we're doing. You know, same thing as Dune. It was like, hey, you only get one. Okay, great. I'm going to make it so good, you're going to give me a sequel. Hey. So, and I'm going to stop the story in the middle.
Is this does this now become the blueprint for video game adaptations? Because this is from everything I'm reading, this is absolutely spot on for the most part.
Well, it depends if this video game has as good a story. Like, The Last of Us is one of the best apocalyptic zombie stories written in the last 50 years, regardless of video game or movie or TV or book, anything.
Right.
Like, it was a fantastic story. So having a story that good is the only shot you have to make a show that's good. Otherwise, you're just trying to, you know, put makeup on a pig, right? Something like that.
Do that. Do you think God of War has the storytelling
They said that I do, but it's got to be bigger. And I mean, the funny part about God of War is it's basically The Last of Us, because all of a sudden, as opposed to just getting Kratos, the way they made it good was they gave you another way into it.
Right.
And another view where you get to access the story through his kid Atreus's eyes.
Nice.
And that's your into the story.
Have you finished it yet?
No. I'm back to work in the story part. I was doing 100% in quests and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
And I was like, I just got to go start working.
I've been doing that in the Skyrim saga. And Legos.
Dylan, what they said, the origin of the zombies was the flour. Yeah, they mentioned that. He said it was flour, sugar, bread, something like that. They didn't know exactly what, but that was said in this episode by
Joel,
who Pedro Pascal is great. I don't love him in most things other than the immense weight of unimaginable talent or whatever the Nick Cage movie was. I thought he was great in that.
Right.
I do like him in this quite a bit so far, but his accent is killing me.
Have you grown on Bella Ramsey yet?
No.
Well, they didn't really give her a lot to do this episode either.
So. She's fine, but she plays it like I see her as, and it's probably because I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Like, but I see her. I don't see her as like I have a 14-year-old. She's right. She doesn't act 14, like at all. Even for an apocalypse 14, like not in any way, shape, or form.
She's a young 20. She's a young 20s.
You, look, and for as much as they needed her on screen, they probably couldn't cast somebody younger.
Yeah.
Because of the child labor laws and all that stuff, right? So, like, you would have run into that. So, I understand why they couldn't, but I also don't think she plays young.
Right. Because
now there's also all sorts of controversy online. Like, if they do a season two, thinking they would do the second game, which, again, I predict that we do not get to the end of the first game in this season. Because that's a lot of ground for them to travel in the next 7 episodes.
Yeah.
I don't think they were like, you know, you'd have to recast if you time jump. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't, because she already acts like she's like 20.
Right. That's all I got for tonight. I did just see that Brock Purdy needs Tommy John surgery. He's going to be out all next year. Shame.
He might.
No, they said.
Is that official now?
Yeah, that's.
Because I saw earlier that his UCL is completely torn, but they were going to try and heal it, which would take 6 months to be ready for training camp.
Yeah, the group text.
Mind you, he's still the third string quarterback, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, it's a shame for him. I mean, he went back out there and played on an all.
I mean, but he's still the third string quarterback, so.
That doesn't matter. He's not.
Which was crazy that he kept trying to complete passes.
Right.
It was nuts because he did try twice.
He
and
did.
And you watched him, and they went like 2 yards. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and he's not in the Super Bowl.
So, So as always, thank you for finding the Geek Spot with us. You know, drop us a 5-star rating if you're listening on iTunes. If not, you know, find us wherever, tell a friend, tell all your friends, drop us a review wherever you can. If you're on Spotify, we usually have a question, or, you know, you can leave some comments on there too, which is pretty cool. And other than that, find us on the socials at Geek Spot News. You can find me at Jack Kid Music. I'm off this week, but I'll be back the second week in February, Super Bowl weekend, Valentine's weekend. The couple gigs around, you can check out jackkidmusic.com to see where I'll be. And let's, Dom, you're leaving out the Union, which I'm offended by, saying it's going to suck to have both the Phillies and the Eagles come so close and lose in the championship games.
Eagles by 10.
All right. Well, I'll give you a go, Birds, to take it out, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye, everybody.